Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of 7 Minutes Scaling Secrets, where we interview entrepreneurs and learn a secret on how they scaled up their businesses. Today we have a special guest, Jacinta Lim, who's the co-founder of Seek Sophie, which aims to provide people with an off-the-beaten-path, sustainable way of traveling. Jacinta, how did that come about? Tell us a little bit more about that.
This episode was brought to you by Superscaling. Join the Superscaling Ignite program today and learn how you can systemize and superscale your business so that your revenues can grow to at least $100,000 a month with a productive team from all over the world, raving fans as clients and happy founders who have true freedom. Visit superscaling.com/ignite today. And now back to the episode.
Hi, Alban. Good to be on. Thanks for having me. So we started Seek Sophie about 4 years ago, and I started it because my friend and I were both like very intrepid travelers. We've gone to, you know, over 100 countries, and we just couldn't find a kind of travel online that we like. And what I mean by that is, you know, whenever you're going to a new place, right, the first thing you'll do is go on Google and you'll be like, what to do in this place? Or, you know, back in the day when TripAdvisor was still very big, you would go on TripAdvisor. But what I found myself doing was that I would go to like the last page of TripAdvisor, or go to like page 5 of Google, page 10 of Google, because the first few pages were all full of really like touristy, fairly crappy stuff that because you've traveled so much, you know that when you go there, it's going to be like full of loads of people and it's going to be a little bit soulless. And you know, you're there because you're checking off a list, but after you leave it, you feel a little bit empty, a bit like, oh, I just wasted my time, or that didn't teach me much about the city. Like, you know, that wasn't my favorite thing, but at least I've done it and I've checked it off. But the kind of travel that we wanted to do was, you know, if you go to like, I don't know, a back street somewhere, and then you find like this old like shop and it's run by this granny who's had it for like 150 years. And, you know, you talk to them and you learn things from them and you kind of come away, you know, wanting to tell all your friends about them because you're like, oh my God, I just found the coolest thing that just like showed me the best part of Lombok, or just showed me the best part of, you know, Nairobi or something. And you just come away like so energized and excited. And those kind of experiences you don't get like when you're like browsing all the blogs and everything. So we just thought, how are we going to bring that kind of really cool experiences to people like travelers like us who actually care about knowing more about the place rather than just like, okay, I've done this touristy thing now. And, you know, you kind of come away feeling like you've done something really cool and you've gotten to know the place, right? Like under the skin of the place.
Right. How did that like happen? Like, how do you transform a passion into a business? How do you know that it was even possible to begin with?
I think it's one of those things that you think it has to exist because it's such like travel for us means so much, right? It's such an emotive category. And when you kind of look at, you know, brands out there, there's like fashion brands, there's like beauty brands, all of those things, they, you know, there are a lot of brands that resonate with your values. It's not just like, oh, that's fast fashion and that's it. There's like, you know, brands like Patagonia that, you know, support the national parks and they resonate with your values. And you just look at travel as a category and everything out there is so mass market. And you just think there must be other people like us that care about, you know, a more interesting way of traveling to actually make sure that your traveling is, you know, you get under the skin of a place, you do something more special, more authentic, and you actually, you know, leave like no footprint behind, or you leave the place better than you found it, right? So it comes from a very innate feeling that this has to exist because it means so much to us. And, you know, all our friends around us, that's kind of how they were traveling as well. They're trying to make sure that the place that they were going to wasn't just like, you know, a tourist trap. They were trying to make sure that the place that they went to, like, if you're going to go to a safari or you're going to go, you know, see like wildlife, you're making sure that you're doing it in a sustainable fashion, that you're not harming the place, right? And more we saw that around us, but there was just no like travel brand out there that was doing that. So it was just a, okay, do or die. We have to make this happen because this has to exist. We don't know why it doesn't exist. And I mean, for the last 4 years, I've only done experiences on a platform, and all my family have benefited and I have benefited from it. So at least, you know, it fills the gap that we wanted to fill in kind of the ecosystem.
Do you remember how you got your first customer?
I mean, okay, so on the supply side, so it's a marketplace, right? So loads of these experiences are like super hard to find. So my co-founder, so I picked up coding. I don't have a coding background, so I picked up coding to build the platform. So whilst I was doing that, my co-founder basically went on the ground to like all these different countries and like knocked on doors. So she basically, you know, spoke to them to find out about what they were doing with the local communities, what they were doing on the ground, what they were doing for the environment. And so she did kind of interviews that way. And for the ones that she thought were really good, she signed them on. But at that point in time, we didn't have an app or anything. So it was literally just like drawings. And she was like, well, wouldn't it be so cool if you were on this platform that doesn't exist yet? And, you know, we drew this for you.
Well, talk about MVP.
Yeah. So she was going to all these like really hard to get to places. Like she was going on, you know, like going on a sampan to a business meeting, that kind of thing, and like going to all these local businesses and basically signing them up. So on that side, that's how that happened. I think our first customer probably was like 2 or 3 weeks or something after we launched. So it was like for like a Kinabalu trek or something. I'm not quite sure how they found us, because at that point in time, I had this really idealistic notion that I'm not going to advertise, it's all going to be word of mouth, it's all going to be organic, which is really dumb. But then we were going on like lots of forums and like, you know, answering questions for people and, you know, putting the website out there. So I guess that's how they found us.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, all organic. But these days, I guess you advertise, right?
Yes, that's one stupid mistake that we made. We wasted a lot of time that way.
I think it's a very common thing that business owners and people seem to think that advertising is a bad thing, but it's not, right? Like, it gives us a way to reach out to the right audience so that they can find us. You know, I think it's our role as business owners to help these people, our audience, our prospects, our customers actually find us, right? Because if not, they might not have the ever have the opportunity to. And the people that you serve, the ones who really want the kind of travel experience and done in a sustainable way, I mean, if they hadn't found you, they probably wouldn't have gotten this experience. So I think it's our responsibilities as business owners to advertise responsibly, of course, not like, you know, stuff our business down people's throats or something, but, you know, to reach out to show them that, hey, this is what we do and this is how we do things and why we are different and how you, like, people can benefit from the products and services that we have.
Exactly.
Awesome. This is great that you've started Seek Sophie, but it must have been quite a journey for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey? What are some of the high points and the low points of this journey?
I mean, I think obviously COVID was massive because, you know, we're a travel platform. And so a big part of Seek Sophie is mission driven, right? That's why we exist. It's how do we, and, you know, our hashtag is kind of like travel that makes life better. But who is it better for? It's better for the travelers. It's better for the local communities, and it's better for the environment. And that mission is basically, how do you make sure that when you go to a place, you're making sure that your spending goes towards local communities. So all the money kind of stays on the ground with the local communities, and also to the people who are doing really good work on the ground, right? So that means that if you're seeing wildlife, a lot of the experiences, for example, that we have will be in places that don't let you like touch the animals or get too close or scare the animals. We make sure that we find places that they don't have issues of like animal anxiety because like there are too many tourists, but also that actually they involve the local community. So one of the experiences that we have, that whole community used to be poachers. And because they got involved in tourism, like one person, all it took was one guy to be involved in tourism, And he would tell his dad, he would tell his uncles, like, hey, you know, my livelihood depends on this, so please stop hunting. And you know, in some of the most like remote parts of the world where you still have like you know, elephants roaming the farms and things like that, people do hunt them because you know they're trampling on the plantations and everything. And there's a lot of kind of conflict, but once you involve them into tourism, you kind of preserve the local ecosystem and the local wildlife. So that's kind of a very big part of what we're trying to do, right? You know, making travel something that benefits not just us, but the people on the ground and the environment. And COVID was such a massive test of that, right? If you, I mean, every platform had to deal with it, but we basically, you know, we're a startup, we basically had like no money and we're just like starting out, right? And we had the best kind of week ever. We were so excited. And then on March 13th, everything shut down, like
Oh my
every
God.
single country shut down on us. And you basically start having to deal with cancellations, and you have like so much, you like everybody wants to cancel because nobody knows what's going on. So you're literally in that position where, okay, we're serving travelers and local communities, but actually right now, travelers and local communities, they're directly in conflict, because if you pay back the travelers, then what happens to the poor guys on the ground who don't know when they're gonna get the next like any money, right? So many
Absolutely.
of them, they're living like month to month. So if you basically take like this money away from them and they don't know how they're gonna live for the next 2 years, or you know, there's no end in sight to this, then how do you protect both sides? Whereas and the travelers, obviously they're stranded, right? They spent like so much money on this trip and they don't know when they're gonna do it. And obviously they deserve their money back. So we made the decision to take like personal loans. So we took a lot of personal loans basically, to just, so we paid all the travelers back. And we basically told all our partners, we were like, guys, don't worry, keep it as credit, you keep the money. Because we already paid out all the money to that side. So we said, look, guys, you keep the money until like we can send you more people again. But right now, just hang on to it to survive. But that was really, really tough, because like we were suffering ourselves like massively.
And you had to carry the loans for 2 years? Whoa.
Or longer, right? Because like people are still just recovering now in the industry, so it's really tough.
And I guess things are a lot better now.
I mean, we pivoted a lot. I mean, the first year, 2020 was very tough. I mean, 2021 was very tough as well. I think when I only looked back in about March this year, and kind of like we did the numbers and everything for the last couple of years, and we actually grew like 10x in 2020 and 2021 because we pivoted very successfully to domestic.
Nice.
I didn't even clock that at that time, because it was so difficult surviving week on week, because every week the rules changed, and every time the rules changed, it was like, oh no, okay, this market has died. What do we do now? Where do we pivot? What do we sell now? So literally kind of every single week our product would change, because we just didn't know what to sell, because everything was changing so quickly on us. So it was only in March this year when I looked back, when I was like, oh, actually we did pretty well out of that, but it was a really traumatic kind of 2 years.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. And I'm glad the pivot happened and worked out well. There are two questions that we ask of every podcast guest. Number one, what do you think is the most important habit to be a successful entrepreneur?
I don't know, but I think, look,
It
I
sounds
think
like
everyone.
resilience and a great sense of responsibility is really important to have a business that is successful in the sense that you take care of the stakeholders that are involved.
I think so. I think kind of that's what people don't really talk about a lot, right? Like, you know, you need to make sure you take care of your employees, and you need to make sure you take care of the stakeholders before anything else. But I think in terms of the habits, like everyone talks about managing your time, right? And I think the most important thing that I always remind myself is managing my psychology is number one, and then managing my time is probably number two or number three. Because if I wake up in the morning and I think like, oh no, I don't know what to do, which I thought many, many times over the last like few years, I think like my whole day is gone. Like I'm not that productive. But if I wake up in the morning and instead of thinking, I don't know what to do, I just switch it a little bit to, I'm going to figure it out. Then immediately I'm energized and I think like, okay, I'm going to spend today like figuring it out. And it makes a huge difference.
It does. Yeah. I agree. All right. And the second question, what advice would you give to another business owner?
So I read something recently, which I thought was quite good. So, you know, Net-a-Porter, it's an e-commerce site, did quite well. Nathalie Massenet is the founder. And she said, you know, on the day they launched, so they took like a year or something for the site. And on the day they launched, she basically like excused herself. Like they were in her living room and the engineers pressed launch and she just excused herself. She went to the toilet. She looked at herself in the mirror and said, whatever happens from here on, you did good. And I think that's, and when I read that, I was just like, actually, I don't know when the last time I told myself that. Right. I never said like, you know, whatever happens from here on, you know, you survived COVID, you did good. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they're so hard on themselves. Yeah. They're always like, how do I get more? How do I get more? How do I grow more? I'm not doing enough. That kind of like wears you down. Whereas actually it's really important to just take time to say like, hey, you know, you did good. You're doing really well. Like you're taking a really difficult path and it takes a lot of courage. So good job for just like being here and taking that path.
Nice. All right. Thanks for sharing your story with us. What's the best way for people to reach out to either you or seek Sophie?
Just jump on the website. It's www.seeksophie.com. So that's SEEKSOPHIE.com. So, and then you can just like drop me an email, Jacinta at seeksophie.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'll have that linked in the show notes below as well. Thank you so much for your time for being on this podcast, Jacinta. Hey everyone, if you guys like this episode, please remember to like, comment, and share. And I'll look forward to seeing you in the next one.